From the Sri Satya Sai Media Center at Prashanthi Nilayam, you are listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Sri Vinay Kumar, trustee, Sri Satya Sai Trust Karnataka, convener of the Brindavan Ashram Management Committee and a member of the National Youth Committee of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization, India. He was also fortunate to be handpicked by Bhagwan as the chief organizer of the first Atirudra Mahayajna, which was held at Prashanthi Nilayam. And this talk titled, Our Mother Sai, Lord of All, was delivered in the Purnachandra Auditorium as a part of the International Summer Conference in 2019. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After the talk, you'll be treated to some heartfelt bhajans from the album series Bhavanjali. And with that, over to Sri Vinay Kumar.
Tvameva mata cha, pita tvameva, tvameva bandhuscha sakha tvameva, tvameva vidya dravinam tvameva, tvameva sarvam mama deva deva. Offering myself at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Swami, a very loving Sai Ram to each one of you here. It is indeed the rarest privilege to have gathered here in this most wonderful Purnachandra Auditorium, every inch of which is hallowed by Bhagwan's divine touch. When I was coming into the hall this morning, a thought came in my mind. Just look at the layout of this hall. We have Bhagwan's residence right here, presiding over the hall. We have the nourisher, which is the South Indian canteen, which provides food right at the other end. We have the energizer, the Sai Kulbanth Hall, to our right. And then this path is left open, which is the pathway to liberation. This reminds me of the Panivattam on which the lingam is placed. The east to west movement of energy. This is the divine workshop where Bhagwan presided over several yajnas over several decades. And we are all seated right here in the lap of that yagashala. This is no ordinary joke. This is not an ordinary moment. This is one of the greatest moments in our life, just to have been gathered here this morning. And look at the world outside. Ecological, climatic imbalances. We have economies which are at vagaries with each other. Political upsurge. There is the eternal demon of extremism which is hovering around all of us. And above all, moral and spiritual and ethical challenges which line the very fabric of humanity. We are responsible for the state in which we find ourselves today. The only reason for these infirmities around us is due to the lack of spiritual discipline. Atma Chintana, Atma Vicharana, Daiva Chintana, all this has been fading and Deyabhimana has started ruling our very existence. It is said in the Shastras that at the beginning, it was the primordial Purusha who first existed. From him came the Vedam, then the Karmas, then the Yajnas. The Yajnas brought rainfall and water, and from water came food, and from food came man. And look at the irony today. Man finds himself bereft of food. There is malnutrition. There is no water. And this is only due to the Nishiddha Karmas, and the complete abhorrence for the Vedam, which is called Veda Glani, and above all, the greatest sin which is being committed today is man questioning the very existence of God. Who is this God? This is what we refer to as Brahman. We have all come to see this Brahman in the beautiful embodied form of Bhagwan, who moved with us, walked with us, spoke to us, joked with us, laughed with us, played with us, even indulged in some of those very petty demands that we kept making of him, just to become one with us so that ultimately we become one with him. At this moment, a beautiful incident which I want to share with all of you. It was one afternoon here in the mandir. As Swami was engaged in a conversation, he suddenly turned and asked me, "How do I look to you?" And I was taken aback. I didn't know how to respond. And he again said, he actually spoke to me in Kannada, but I have to translate this to you in English. "How do I look to you?" And I said, "Swami, you are the most beautiful form. There cannot be anything which is more beautiful than this, which human eyes can behold." And I took his permission to sing a song for him. This is a bhajan, Sai Sundara, in my hoarse voice. I had the guts to ask him to offer this song. And he said, So I started off, the voice is not at all good, but I still had the guts to do it in front of God. So I started off saying, "Sai Sundara, Sundara." And instantly Swami held my hand and said, "Stop it! Raga illa, thala illa, nothing is there." I said, "Swami, there may be no raga, no thala, but there is bhava." And he immediately quipped back and said, "If there was bhava, you would have told me how I look to you." And then he made a momentous statement, which was one of the defining moments in my life, brothers and sisters. He said, "Sarva devatatita swarupa dharinchi manavakarame iakaramu." He said, "The form you are seeing in front of you is the complete embodied form of all the gods and goddesses known to man." Then he went on to say, "Jagratam, jagratam, jagratam. Be aware, be aware, be aware." This was one of the most defining moments in my life. I didn't know how to respond to Swami. I was sitting right in front of the one who was the complete embodiment of everything, the Brahman himself. It is this form, it is this beauty of the Lord, when he indulged in each one of us, moving with us as an ordinary human, that dissuades us from the path of jnana. In fact, Adi Shankaracharya, when he criticizes the doctrine of jnana and karma, I sometimes tend to agree with him. Activity has nothing to do with realization. The karma marga is different, the jnana marga is different. The ultimate goal is only jnana, jnana and jnana. The realization of the Brahman is the only work we have. What other work do we have? In fact, whenever I had to come for darshan, Swami had given me an instruction. He said, "You come from the back door, come into the hall and sit there. Until I come, there is no need for you to talk to anybody." And we, as human, would obviously, you know, sway away from the divine instructions also. So we always indulge in some small talk here and there with people who are sitting next to us. Bhagwan would some days come at 4 o'clock, some days at 4:30, just to enable us to do more penance sitting in that sacred place. But we would indulge in some needless gossip. And one day when Swami came, he called me and said, "There is so much work for you to do. Why are you going on talking?" And I said, "Swami, but I didn't do anything. It was just a gentle conversation with the person sitting next to me." He said, "By sitting quiet, you have so much work to do. Just remain quiet. Just remain silent." I think this is one of the greatest tasks which we need to imbibe and follow in our lives. just remaining silent, because it is in the depths of silence that you experience the divinity. The Supreme Brahman is realized by those who go inward, deep within, in the eternal process of inquiry. Brothers and sisters, our brother told me to dwell on a few experiences, and they have given me a topic: Mother Sai, Lord of all there is. In the post-samadhi period in our lives, I am amazed that we have actually existed for more than 8 years since the beautiful form faded away. It has been a terrible period, these 8 years, living without Swami physically. In fact, those early years when Swami left us were absolutely shattered. I each time shed to even think of that morning of 24th April 2011 when Bhagwan decided to withdraw. In those early years, 2012, we kept wandering here and there, trying to see a glimmer of Bhagwan somewhere, trying to catch a vision of him somewhere, something, somehow. And this took me to a place called Thiruvannamalai, which is near Tamil Nadu. When I went there the first time, my wife and I, in the evening we were walking around the hill. I don't know how many of you know about this place. We were walking around the hill and we suddenly were attracted to a small temple. When we went near the temple, there was a sage sitting inside. It was a very small cave, probably the size of this podium. He was seated inside and he called us. We went near him and the first thing he starts talking to us about is Swami. He points us to the hill which is supposed to be the origin of creation, the Arunachala hill. He put up his two fingers and he said, look through the fingers and can you see the jyoti on the hill? And each time we would see through his fingers, we could see the jyoti, and the moment he withdrew the fingers, the jyoti was not there to the naked eye. And then he said, this Arunachala is Sakshat Parabrahma, Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai. I don't know how he narrated and related the whole thing to Swami. We were taken aback. And he made us sit and spoke for almost 2 hours on the essential principle of love which Bhagwan professed throughout his avatarhood. And towards the end of the chat we had with him, he mentioned something which was so profound again. He said, Bhagwan never allowed all of us to come near him, even to have his darshan in Puttaparthi. He keeps guiding us in our daily activities here, but we have never been permitted to come to him physically. All of you are so fortunate, you have had the darshan, sparshan and sambhashan of the Lord himself. This, brothers and sisters, is what a sage, who later on we realized is one of the greatest siddhas, and in fact when we came back to Bangalore and googled, we found that he had already taken his samadhi 40 years ago. So the person we encountered and spoke to was someone who was not in the physical body actually at that time. This is the Lord of all. He has reached out to millions. He communicates with everyone, every corner of the globe, all the time, making each one of us get uplifted in our spiritual journey towards him. Recently we had in the Vrindavan Ashram the head of the Kashi Vishwanatheshwara temple. I am sure all of you are aware about this place called Kashi, which is a holy pilgrimage center in India, something which all spiritual aspirants crave to go at least once in their lifetimes. He visited the ashram and after he had sat there for a couple of hours, he came out. He went into Bhagwan's mandir there, the Trai Mandir in Vrindavan, came out. And we were standing in the garden. He called me and said, have you gone to Kashi? And I said, not yet. And he said, please don't go. This is Kashi. He said, what I witnessed inside is the Garbhagudi of Kashi. This is absolute Sakshat, the Garbhagudi of the Lord Vishwanatheshwara. In 2 hours, this man related to that place as Kashi. He is in the lineage of the 8th generation of head priests of the Kashi temple. And every year now he comes to Vrindavan just to spend time in the Thrai, because he wants to get himself energized to go back. Imagine what we have with us. We are right here in the lap of divinity. We have been chosen, like Sir said, out of the millions probably, to be a part of the sacred mission, to work as his instruments in his hands. In fact, the single thing which all of us relate to Bhagwan with is his compassion and his love for all of us. This love, which is singular and unique, I don't think any avatar at any time displayed love the way Swami actually showed it out to each one of us. When I lost my mother very early in my life, I was heartbroken, terribly crestfallen, because I was very attached to her. And she was ardently devoted to Swami, ardently devoted, and they had a phenomenal equation. Wherever she would be seated or standing, Swami would call her and talk to her. And when she passed away, suddenly, it happened all of a sudden, in fact, she passed away in my arms. She was perfectly healthy and she passed away. There was a lot of anger in me for Swami, because I kept feeling somebody who was so devoted to you, who only lived her life for you, why did you have to take her away just like that? And then in a strange series of events, I had to take a devotee to Vrindavan Ashram for darshan, so I drove them there. And I told them the moment I reached the ashram, I said, I will not step into the ashram because I don't want to come and have darshan of Baba. He took away my mother. How can I come and see somebody who took away my mother? So I stayed back in the car and these people went in. And after a few minutes, I noticed the lady had left her purse in the car, so I thought maybe she needs it. So I carried the purse inside the ashram to give it to her. And the sevadal there caught me and said, no, you can't go to the lady's side and all that. He ushered me to the gent's shed and make me sit. That was the old Sai Ram shed which was there earlier, not the present hall. So he made me sit in the corner. And it so happened, that was the edge of the hall. So when Bhagwan actually came for darshan, I was in the first row. And as Swami came near, I was livid with anger. And I actually wanted to pounce on him and fight with him. And as he kept coming very close, and he turned to me, I actually went up on my knees and I said, my mother passed away. You took her away. I actually said this, and Seva the Lord tried to come and grab me. And Swami instantly turns around and says, but I am there for you. Those words, it started from there, and I don't think it will ever end in this life and in any other life which I will take. He has stood by me every moment, the mother of all, like he said. Over the years, it's been a very, very mother and child-like relationship with Bhagwan. I could never relate to him as God. I could never look at him as a guru. For me, it was a mother. Every small thing, I ran to him. Whatever I needed, I went to him. And he indulged. Every moment he indulged. I remember Bhagwan had entrusted a very important work to me, connected to getting the government permissions for our campus in Mudanahalli. That kept me interacting with the government of Karnataka for close to 40 days. So I was not able to come for darshan. And after 40 days I came. That was probably the longest time I had stayed away from Swami. And I was seated there in the veranda. And the moment Swami came, he didn't bother to ask me, is the work done? Did the government give the order? He didn't bother to ask me any of that. The first thing he said was, it is 40 days since you have come. I said, Swami, even my mother would not have kept count of days. I don't think even my physical mother would have ever bothered to see or notice that it was 40 days since I came. So much compassion, Swami, so much love. On another occasion, after the afternoon interview that we had with Bhagwan, and typically Swami gives us permission to go back home, so we came back to the room. Bhagwan went into the Bhajan Mandir. We came back to the room to get ready to go back to Bangalore. And as I was getting ready, Swami sent a boy to the room, summoning me back to the Mandir. And initially I was scared. Look at man. Look at God, look at man. God sends word and says, come back. And the first thought which comes to man is, maybe I did a mistake. Why did God call me back? I felt maybe I have done some mistake and I don't know why Swami is summoning me back. So in fear, I came back to the Mandir. And I was seated there. They all said, Swami was asking for you. So we seated right outside the Bhajan Mandir door. And Swami was seated on the throne in the Bhajan Mandir. Those days, the evening bhajans would happen inside the Mandir. And as the aarti got over and Swami walked out, the first thing he says is, today you left after the interview without taking my Pada Namaskar. I called you back only to give you the Pada Namaskar and send you back. Brothers and sisters, this kind of love, I don't know, I mean, whether we can ever hope to receive this love in a human form, in any other form. This is possible only with pure divine love, only possible to come from the Brahman himself. Why would you want to do that to an insect like me? So much love. Why are we all gathered here today? It is only his love. I don't think we have all come here today attracted with anything else. It is purely the love of Swami which has brought each one of us here today. And then over the years, in my working life, there was a stage when I was offered a job at the head office of the company I worked for in December 2000. They had their offices in the World Trade Center in New York. I was asked to take over as the member of the board of that company. And I was obviously excited, because for a finance professional to be at the financial capital of the world and at that kind of a role was very challenging and exciting. So I jumped for it and said, yes, I'm taking it. And I was to report there in 6 months. And in April 2001, when Bhagwan was in Vrindavan, I went to him with a letter. I didn't go to him with permission to go to New York. I went to him just to inform him that we are going. So I said, Swami, with your grace, we have received this opportunity, need your blessings, and please keep us in your service eternally. I wrote something like that and I showed it to Swami. And on that day, Swami just grabs the letter and he threw it. And he said, leave Swami and go. And he just threw it like that. And you know, when people in the crowd see Bhagwan behaving with you like that, they feel you are the greatest sinner on earth, on planet earth. So I had a 1,000 or 10,000 strong group of enemies who suddenly sprung up, and they all tried to usher me out of the hall. And then Swami actually signaled and said, stop, stop, stop. And Swami cut short his darshan, accepted arati and left for the day. And I was heartbroken. I said, why would Swami have to do that? I had the best opportunity of my life. And as you all know, what happened in the September of that year, on the 52nd floor of that building was the office. The officers went, all of them lost their life. And after 6 months in 2002, when I went, came to Parthi to thank Swami for what he had done, Swami just ignored and walked away. That is Bhagwan for us. He keeps doing it. Every moment of our lives, he keeps doing it for us. Even as we are speaking and as we are talking and sitting down here in this beautiful place, there is a transformation, there is some energy which is percolating through us, taking us onto that path. In fact, there cannot be anybody who is more benevolent than Bhagwan. In a sense, the care that he takes for each one of our upliftment is something which cannot be duplicated at all.
Karunamayi Sai Ma, tum mujhe tham lo.
Karunamayi Sai Ma, tum mujhe tham lo.
Karunamayi Sai.
चरणों का ध्यान हो, तेरे
तेरे ही चरणों का ध्यान हो,
तेरे ही चरणों का ध्यान हो,
करुणामयी साईं माँ तुम मुझे थाम लो।
Jnana and karma. I touched upon this briefly in the beginning. In fact, there have been very great teachers in the past, you have seen, who have been telling us, arise, awake, act, and do not stop until you reach the goal. But Swami had a very different prescription for us. He had a three-pronged, kind of layered advice. Serve to love. This is the way I understood it. Serve to love, and then came love to serve, until you became love itself. Initially, the thrust was on service. I remember the first Grama Seva, the village Seva, which we went to take blessings from Bhagwan. This is a great lesson we had. Every time we would go to do a new service or a project, we would go to Swami to take his blessings. So we wrote down everything on what we are going to do in the village, how many people we are trying to serve, the medical camp and the, you know, the Balavikas and things like that. It was all written down, and we went to him to take his blessing. And in darshan, I asked Swami, said, Swami, we need your blessings and permission for this seva activity. And along with Swami, an elder was walking. And Swami says, my blessings are always there, permission you take from him. This is a reminder that the order which has to be maintained and respected has to be respected. There is an organization, there is a hierarchy, there is a setup which is installed by Bhagwan himself that has to be respected by us every moment of our lives, whatever activity we do. The same day we went, took permission from the elder, and next morning Swami showered on us in abundance. Similarly, in one Grama Seva, it was, I remember, a Vaikuntha Ekadasi day, when, you know, typically all the Vaishnavite temples are kept open, because they say the Vaikuntha Dwaram is kept open on those days. So the temples are kept open the whole night. And as part of the Grama Seva, we were supposed to pack food in stitched leaves, put a newspaper around that and a rubber band, typically the way the Grama Seva is done here. So when we completed packing all the food, we were running short of leaves. There was a lot of food left, but the leaves got over. We in fact needed about 2,000 leaves more. And there was no shop which was going to be open at 11 in the night. Only temples would be open that day. So we went searching for leaves, because without the leaves you can't pack the food, and what will you do in the village the next day? And we have already taken Bhagwan's permission to do this distribution. So we went looking out, and we spent a good 1 hour in the markets trying to get those stitched leaves, and no shop was open. And as we were searching, an old man comes and he guides us to the house of somebody, and he says, you go there and they will have leaves. And we go to that house, and that lady has a huge stack of stitched leaves right in the veranda of her house. And this is at some midnight, unearthly hour. We knock on the door, and she opens and she gives us all those leaves. And the next day the Grama Seva happens. After 2 days we went back to Vrindavan to thank Swami for giving the opportunity. And the first thing he says is, but you did not even have the leaves. I had to arrange even the leaves for you. Bad planning, bad planning. Every step was a guidance. We knew that planning in every seva activity had to be absolutely to the last detail. That was my first exposure to perfection in doing his work. That was the first time when I was at least exposed to this aspect of the great importance Bhagwan gave for perfection and planning to the last detail. In fact, when we offered a Kalyanotsavam in Bhagwan's physical presence here in Kulwant Hall in 2010, the Shivaparvati Kalyanotsavam, we had decided to do some prasadam. Bhagwan had asked us to get a few items ready to be offered as prasadam to the devotees. And that morning Swami came to the mandir and he said, you get all the prasadam prepared and organize it on a plate, and this afternoon I will come and see it. And this was at about 10 in the morning. And we had to get all those items. The actual event was to take place only after a week. So on that day there was no way we could have got all those items ready. And he gave us only 6 hours to get all those items ready and arranged on a plate and to be shown to him in the same afternoon. So somehow with the help of South Indian canteen and people here, we got similar items prepared. We got a similar type of arachnid plates organized. And the prasadam was kept together and placed in the mandir. The afternoon Bhagwan came. And I saw a big shift on that day. Earlier in the gramasevas and in the service activities, Swami would only say, you are giving prasadam, and he would bless it. But on that day, he upped the ante. What he did was, he looked at the plate. And he said, this is not the way to arrange the prasadam. He said, the puliyodarai and the chakrapongal should be separated with a banana kept in the middle so that they don't mix with each other. The kara thatte, which we said, he said, keep it right on the top, most of it on the salted part, which is the puliyodarai, a little bit on the chakrapongal, so that it doesn't get too sweet. Then he said, you need to cover this plate with a cloth after keeping a small spoon inside. So the clean wrapping had to be done. Then he says, what about water? So give them all small water chassets also. This kind of minute planning and detailing that he got into was absolutely amazing. It was a huge lesson that we needed to be so perfect in our planning in seva to the last detail. And after he said this, he said, I want you to get this organized in this way and show me a plate like that. So that was also done and brought to Bhagwan, and then he blesses it and says, now you can proceed with the Narayan Seva. This is how the food was distributed to all the devotees here in Kulwant Hall. And as they were being distributed, Swami out of turn asked the boys to bring one plate, and he examined the plate to see whether it was still in that same order, whether the banana was in between, whether the thing was on top, whether the clean covering was there or not. This is the fine detailing that he goes into. There was another beautiful lesson which I learned. We always tend to show Swami letters and programs and things like this whenever he would come for darshan. Can I have a paper? A paper there. Yeah. So on one such day, I was trying to show Swami some program which was there. So as Swami was on his chair, I got up and showed him the paper like this. Actually held it like this. And as he was reading, I could sense that his attention was not on what was written there, but on something else. And instantly he just moved away. He didn't even respond. And after he had gone the whole round of the hall and come back, he then summoned us inside. And the moment I went in, the first thing he said was, show me your nails. So I showed him my nails and they were not cut. They were not trimmed either. He said, when you were showing me the paper, I saw your nails were not cut. Then, the next thing which really baffled me was, he said, that is not the way to hold the paper. This is a sign of ego, he said. I don't know from where ego and holding a paper got correlated. He said, the way you should hold the paper is like this. And hold it like this, so that the entire matter is available for the person to read. You can't hold the paper like this, covering the matter with both your hands. This is a sign of ego that you want to occupy more of the space in the paper. Just look at this lesson. I tell you, brothers and sisters, after that, whenever I had to hold a paper, I had to go through a few steps in my mind. You know, you have to do this and you have to hold it like that. You simply cannot hold it like this. These kind of small lessons, I don't think any avatar at any point of time in the human existence ever did with anyone. This was only his mercy. This is not special to anyone. This is not unique to anyone. This is lessons to all of us all over the planet that we need to plan and look at every act. Every action that we do is getting observed. I would watch when Swami summons you inside, and when you get up and walk in, He would keep observing. I've observed it so many times, and then moment you are inside with him, he will pass that comment and find that fault in you which only you would not have observed. Only Swami can observe. There were days when, you know, the shirt would be half in, half out. You would have probably not put up the button on your sleeve. And he would have observed that, and the moment you get in, the first thing he will say is, put the button. Why have you not put the button? This much of, you know, perfection in whatever has to be done. This is all his love. This is nothing else but love. It is love in action. And that is why we say he is the Lord of all. The Lord of all, because the Lord who cares for all. The Lord who cares for every small aspect in the human existence. In fact, as we moved along, and there was a day when the Punjab youth from the state of Punjab had enacted a drama here. And I observed specially on that day, Swami was so happy with the drama. He was so happy with the play. He went down, he took pictures with them, he spoke to all of them, and then he called the main coordinator and asked him, what do you want? And then he materialized something for somebody, he distributed clothes, all this happened. And then he came back. And out of the blue he asked me, how was the drama? Now when Swami has been so happy with the boys, and he did so much for them, what do you have to say? So the diplomatic best foot had to be put forward, and I said, Swami, the drama was wonderful. In fact, these boys did a brilliant job. And you know what Swami replied? He said, they asked for rings, clothes, all kinds of gifts. Whatever they wanted, I gave it off. Nobody asked me what I have come to actually give them. And he just said this so passingly and moved away. And in the heat of that moment, because it was post-arati, late in the evening, it just didn't register, and I also sat down. When I went back to the room and I was reminiscing over every word that Swami said, I then realized, my God, we keep asking Swami for trinkets. We keep asking him for those small things in life. And he has actually come to give us the highest thing. And he is the only one who can actually give it to us. And he said that so passingly. They only want those gifts which I have given them. Nobody asked me what I have actually come to give them. He just said that and moved on. So these are all pointers to each one of us to improve our life and to recognize the divinity which is actually latent in us, and to try to uplift ourselves in a sense of perfection, in a sense of detailing which we need to bring in our daily existence, because without that it is impossible to proceed on this, I don't want to call it the arduous path, but I want to call it even proceed on this wonderful journey of merging into him through this path of jnana. In fact, a lot of lessons which we can actually get is from the pencil, you know, a small pencil. It has so much of lesson to offer us. There was a story between two pencils in a geometry box. The small pencil which was fading away and in the last stages of its life is telling a big pencil which has just come in and not been used. It says, please remember four things in your life so that you are effective. The first thing it says, ensure you are held by the right beholder. That will define your destiny. We need to be held in the hands of somebody who will use us properly. We cannot let ourselves be used by someone who will misuse us. This is the first lesson. The second lesson it said, what is within is what is important. What is external doesn't matter. It's the lead within the pencil which is material. It's not the wood outside which is important in any way. The third thing was, as you move along and you find the intensity of your craving to be embarked on that path comes down, keep sharpening yourself. And this is the sharpening which Swami has done, by sharpening our levels of perfection, sharpening the way in which we have an outlook towards our existence. And finally, the small pencil tells the big pencil, whenever you commit a mistake, turn around, don't worry, turn around and just rub off the mistake and just move on. Because most pencils have that eraser in the back. So these lessons which we learn from small things in our lives would take us, I think, a huge distance on this path. And above all, what I personally have realized, understood rather, is unless there is absolute and total surrender to the feet of the Lord, I don't think there is any point in embarking on any kind of an activity. Kayena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyatmanava prakrutai svabhavat karomi yagnat sakalam parasmai sai narayanait samarpayami. Unless everything is an offering to Him in absolute and total surrender, I don't think it just matters what work we are indulged in. Today on this auspicious day, as we have just come out of the beauty of the Guru Purnima celebrations yesterday, I feel this gathering here has got congregated not just as a part of the 5-day event that you all are celebrating, but it is a pointer to a lot of things that each one of us need to learn from others and from amongst us. The journey will keep moving on, but the journey of realizing who we are and what we are and what is the role in this entire existence is, I think, at the core of it all. Nothing else really matters. The activity can go on. If that activity is not selfless, it certainly cannot be a prescription for realizing who we are. And that has to be the first step. And that is why Swami insisted that every activity has to be nishkama seva. It has to be selfless. Once it has a trace of selfishness in it, the activity loses all its intensity and purpose. With these words, I would like to end and thank all of you for this wonderful opportunity. Jai Sai Ram.
मन मोहना मधुसूदना कृष्णा मुरलीधरा मन मोहना मधुसूदना कृष्णा नटनागरा जय माधवा हे केशवा कृष्णा 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 नटनागरा जय माधवा हे केशवा कृष्णा 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 मुरलीधरा मन मोहना मधुसूदना कृष्णा बंसीधरा दुख भंजना यदुनंदना कृष्णा बंसीधरा दुख भंजना यदुनंदना कृष्णा राधे गोविंदा साई मुकुंदा गोपी जन प्रिय कृष्णा राधे गोविंदा साई मुकुंदा गोपी जन प्रिय कृष्णा राधे गोविंदा साई मुकुंदा गोपी जन प्रिय कृष्णा राधे गोविंदा चेहरा मन मोहना मधुसूदना कृष्णा नटनागराज माधवा हे केशवा कृष्णा 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 मुरलीधरा मनमोहना मधुसूदना कृष्णा बंसीधरा दुख वंजना यदुनंदना कृष्णा राधे गोविंद साई मुकुंद गोपी जन प्रिय कृष्ण
राधे गोविंद साई मुकुंद गोपी जन प्रिय कृष्ण
राधे गोविंद साई मुकुंद गोपी जन प्रिय कृष्ण
राधे गोविंद साई मुकुंद गोपी जन
मुरलीधरा मनमोहना मधुसूदना कृष्णा
Thank you. विभूषित हे त्रिपुरारी
विभूषित हे त्रिपुरारी
भस्म विभूषित हे त्रिपुरारी
विभूषित हे त्रिपुरारी
पाप हरो हे हाला हल धरे
पाप हरो हे हाला हल धरे
पाप हरो विभूषित हे त्रिपुरारी
कुमारा वानर वीरा वायु कुमारा वानर वीरा अति बलवंता हनुमंता
अति बलवंता
అతి బలవంత హనుమంత కేసరి నందన అంజని పుత్ర కేసరి నందన అంజని పుత్ర జయ హో జయ హో పవన కుమారా 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 వాయు కుమారా వానర వీరా అతి బలవంత హనుమంత కేసరి నందన అంజని పుత్ర జయ హో జయ హో పవన కుమారా 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 వాయు కుమారా వానర వీరా
సఖా తుమ్ సాయి హమారే तो जीवन हारे अब तो जीवन हारे
जीवन दाता जीवन दारो अब तो जीवन हारे
साईं बाबा दर्श दिखाओ हमें दर्श दिखाओ भक्तों ने है आज पुकारा आना होगा तुम्हें साईं बाबा दर्श दिखाओ मात पिता तुम साईं हमारे बंधु सखा तुम साईं हमारे भवसागर से पार उतारो जीवन के रखवारे
भवसागर से पार उतारो जीवन के रखवारे
जीवन दाता जीवन तारो अब तो जीवन हारे साईं बाबा दर्श दिखाओ
हमें
साईं बाबा साईं बाबा दर्श दिखाओ
साईं बाबा दर्श दिखाओ
साईं बाबा दर्श दिखाओ
साईं बाबा दर्श दिखाओ
दर्श दिखाओ हमें।